of the tragic results of living on the artificial is the gradual loss of the real.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Names are very important. God, for example, named Adam. God renamed Abram. Jesus saw the potential that was in Simon. And even though on occasion his behavior appeared more like shifting sand, Jesus renamed him Peter, which means a rock. The angel announced to Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Matthew 1 and verse 21. And in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, we are given a prophetic portrait, a very significant biblical insight regarding the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, his character and his purpose. As I look at those names, they all seem to resolve one kind of a problem or another. His name shall be called Wonderful. I think that cares for the dullness of life. It's a remedy for the dullness, the boredom, that attaches itself to life apart from Jesus Christ. His name is Counselor. It takes care of the decisions of life. You need to make some important decisions. You need some godly counsel. You need a union with Jesus Christ. His name is the Mighty God. That takes care of the demands of life. A lot of pressures come into our lives. Many demands are imposed upon us. I thank God that Jesus Christ is the Mighty God. And then Isaiah says he's the Everlasting Father. That takes care of the dimensions of life. He adds an eternal dimension to our way of living. Now, our subject is this first credential. His name is Wonderful. And in order for us to understand the meaning of that, I'm really dealing with a subject now, almost a topic, wonder. And I want you to notice with me three facets of wonder. One, the identification of wonder. Two, the personification of wonder. And three, the appropriation of wonder. How we can integrate it into our own lives. How this dimension of wonder, which Jesus is and represents, and which he came to give, can become a reality in our own lives. First of all, the identification of wonder. What is it? What is wonder? His name is Wonderful. What does that word mean? It's an Old Testament word, P-E-L-E. And it means at least three things. That word, when it was used in the ancient world, in the Old Testament, meant at least three things. It described something that was incomprehensible. It described something that was individual. It was unique. There was nothing else like it. And it described something that was inspirational. It filled a person with awe and wonder. Now, that's how that word was always used in the ancient world. Now, I've not said enough about wonder. I've given you the etymology of the word, so we have a little theological background for understanding it. Now, can I go a step further? Let me give you not only the etymology of the word, we're identifying the concept of wonder here, but now let me go beyond the etymology of the word and talk for a moment about the essence of true wonder. And very quickly, I'd like to give you five marks of true wonder. What true wonder is really like, and how it differs from other ingredients that seem to permeate our culture. If I were to give five marks or five characteristics of true wonder, this is how I'd look at it. Number one, it is marked by what I would call profundity. And I would mean by that it has depth. Number two, it's marked not only by profundity, but also by nobility. And when I say that, all I mean by that is that it has great value. There's a third mark of wonder, and that is what I would call humility. And I mean by this that true wonder always induces humility. The injection of the wonder of Jesus Christ into our lives creates in us an attitude of humility. We're an overwhelmed people. There's a fourth characteristic or mark of wonder. It's not only profound or deep, noble or valuable. It not only induces humility, but the fourth mark of wonder is mystery. And I mean by that it's unfathomable. True wonder is based on knowledge. It's not an existential zap. It's not a bolt of lightning from outer space. No, it's not that. It's based on knowledge, but it is a knowledge which freely admits its ignorance. Number five, and this is the final mark of wonder as I see it, is what I would call entirety. And I mean by that simply that it grips the whole man. Biblical wonder. It's not an isolated experience that perplexes the mind. True wonder captures the whole man, the mind and the heart and the will of a man. It's an attitude of life. It's not an interruption or an isolated experience. It's an attitude of life. It's the total outlook of a man's life at all times. Now, the problem is that most people don't experience this wonder. Why is that? May I share with you for a moment the enemies of true wonder? They face us every day in our world. Number one, we live in a mechanical world. We live in a very impersonal world. Wherever we look, we are conditioned to think not in terms of a gracious lawgiver, not in terms of a God who is a gracious lawgiver, but simply in terms of scientific law. We live beyond that in a commercial world. Does it work and does it pay? Those are the two questions that rule our culture. We have developed efficiency at achieving our goals, and once we have achieved our goals, we have no satisfaction, we have no fulfillment. Fulfillment never comes from achievement. It comes from Christ. Now, we live not only in a mechanical and a commercial world, but we live, thirdly, in a superficial world. We become very superficial about our faith. Even our faith sometimes is very superficial. It's just kind of an ornament that makes us respectable instead of a foundation that makes us stable. Now, there's a fourth enemy of true wonder. It's what I call an artificial world. By that, I mean that most people are living on substitutes and they don't even realize it. They're living on substitutes, things that are artificial, and they don't even realize it. Empty comedy has replaced good humor. Cheap, but not inexpensive. Cheap amusement has replaced wholesome recreation. Propaganda has replaced truth. Manufactured experiences, the drug culture, the rock culture, the sex culture, the occult culture. Manufactured experiences are the result of living in a plastic world. And one of the tragic results of living on the artificial is the gradual loss of the real. We begin to live in an artificial world. We begin to think artificially. In a word, it means the forfeiture of true wonder. We live in an artificial world. Here's the last point in this particular progression. We live in a sinful world. That's the bottom line. The greatest substitute of all is living for self. And that is the essence of sin. The essence of sin is living for self instead of living for Christ. I've said it on many occasions. The essence of sin is erecting an altar to yourself at the center of your life and daily bowing down to it. Wherever a man lives for himself, he can be sure there will be no wonder. No true wonder. The wonderful ingredients that Jesus Christ meant to bring into his life will never be experienced in that kind of a world. Because the Bible says, any man whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. If he saves his life, that is, he lives for himself, he will lose it. He'll lose all meaning, all joy. He'll lose wonder. And then the scripture says, but whosoever shall lose his life, that is, be selfless instead of selfish, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's shall save it. It's then that the dimension of wonder comes into his life. Now, very quickly, let me give you an outline regarding the personification of wonder. I've tried the best I could to give you the identification of wonder, what it is and what it is not and why we don't experience it. Some of those ideas will relate to every one of us at one point or another. May I give you very quickly the personification of wonder? If you want to see wonder personified, you need to look at Jesus Christ. His name is wonderful. And he's wonderful at least in a fourfold way. He's wonderful, number one, in his person. If we have the time to analyze it, John 1, 1-18 is a beautiful description of the person of Jesus Christ. There are all kinds of wonderful insights in that passage regarding the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 1, 1-18. His eternity. In the beginning was the Word. When God spoke time into existence, Jesus Christ already was. That's what that phrase means. John 1, 1. His eternity. His personality. And the Word was with God. He had individual identity. He was with God. His deity and the Word was God. He had absolute equality. Not only individual identity, but absolute equality. His potency, all things were made by him. His vitality, in him was life. His clarity, and the life was the light of men. Jesus Christ provides the light which helps a man to be delivered from groping in the darkness. His charity, he came unto his own. His humanity, and the Word was made flesh. His nobility, We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. His ministry he hath declared the Father. There are 10 items at least in John 1, 1 to 18, which identify the wonder of Christ's person. He hath declared the Father. By his coming, Christ led the Father out into the open. That's what that phrase means, John 1, 18. In Jesus Christ, it means the distant, unknowable, invisible, unreachable God has come down to man. Do you want to know what God is like? Do you want to know what wonder really is? Look into the face of Jesus Christ in the pages of Scripture. He's wonderful in his person. And then he's wonderful in his performance, in the life he lived. Everything that yielded to Jesus experienced wonder. Have you yielded to Jesus? That's what it takes to become a Christian. You must yield. You must surrender to Jesus Christ. Everything that yielded to Jesus participated in wonder. The wedding at Cana was just another wedding until Jesus came. And he transformed it by his presence and by his power. Peter and his fisherman friends would have lived ordinary lives and died ordinary deaths had they never met and yielded to Jesus Christ. But he brought a dimension of wonder into their lives that would never have existed except they yielded to him. Everything Jesus touched, he blessed and he beautified and he filled with wonder. A little seed became a sermon. Water became a symbol of everlasting life and a portrait of the Holy Spirit. A lost sheep became the symbol of a lost soul and its infinite value. Perhaps the greatest wonder of all, he transformed a shameful cross from a scaffold of execution to an imperial chariot upon which he leads his followers in triumphant procession. Colossians 2:14, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. He was wonderful in his performance. Everything that yielded to him experienced wonder. Everything he touched, he blessed and beautified and brought down into it a dimension of wonder. He'll do the same for us. Thirdly, he was wonderful in his pronouncements, his words. That's what the Bible means. All bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Luke 4 and verse 22. He was wonderful in his pronouncements. And I think perhaps the greatest wonder of Jesus' teaching is that in his words we have life. Do you understand that? In the words of Jesus Christ we have life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 6 verse 63. You know what that means? It means, number one, that the Word of God is alive, Hebrews 4:12. It means, number two, that the Word of God is not only alive, it produces life in those who believe in it, 1 Peter 1, verse 23. We are born again. We come alive. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. Not only is the Word of God alive, not only does it produce life, but it also sustains life. Psalm 119 and verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath given me life. When we come to believe in and meditate upon the words of Jesus Christ, they feed the inner man, they enable us to live, and they bring down into our lives a dimension of wonder that we never had before.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Because the Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful, he removes the dullness, the meaninglessness of life. Because he's the counselor, he provides for us wisdom in the basic decisions of life.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.